1857 marks quite a year on the French literary landscape. Two groundbreaking works, one published the year before and the other that year, were both subjected to trials for obscenity. And the first, Madame Bovary by Gustave Flaubert, which unblinkingly depicted the adulterous relationships of a bored provincial housewife, led eventually to the acquittal of its author. The second, the volume of poetry called Les Fleurs du Mal, The Flowers of Evil, by Charles Baudelaire, resulted in six poems, mostly depicting lesbian desire, being suppressed and a fine imposed on the poet. Now, it is this volume of poetry that I would like to discuss today. Before we start, I would thoroughly recommend visiting the website Fleurs du Mal, all one word, .org, as you can consult the full text of the different editions alongside a variety of published translations. The 1868 edition is the one that contains all the poems that are now commonly used, so click on that if you choose to visit the website. As all the translations on the site come from over 60 years ago, you may wish to buy Anthony Mortimer's stylish and clear modern translation. It's available as an e-book or in traditional book form, and it comes with the original French versions also. It's also very reasonably priced. Les Fleurs du Mal stands apart from any volume of poetry that came before it, both in the scale of Baudelaire's ambition and from the unflinching exploration of the poetic self. Before him, romantic poets of the earlier 19th century often saw themselves as solitary visionaries, more at one with nature than with modern civilization. But Baudelaire, on the other hand, isn't afraid to explore all aspects of life, from the idealistic highs to the grimiest of lows, in his quest to discover what he calls at the end of the volume, the new. Now, the title of the collection, The Flowers of Evil, shows us immediately that he is not going to lead us down safe paths. Flowers and evil are not terms that would normally be expected to belong together. And in naming his work in this way, I would say that he is signalling that he will show us both the contradictions of existence and the beauty that can be found within things that society might normally deem to be immoral or ugly. By addressing the term evil, he is also showing that he is willing to address questions of religion and spirituality over the course of the book. Now, from the very beginning, where he addresses the reader directly in a poetic prologue, fittingly entitled Au lecteur, to the reader, we can see that he is not going to give us, or himself for that matter, an easy ride. The prologue ends with the words, hypocrite lecteur, mon semblable, mon frère, which translates, using Mortimer's version, as hypocrite reader, kindred spirit, brother. In other words, we're going to accompany the poet on his journey. And this idea of travelling is an important one in the book. Four poems have voyage and journey in their title, including the final poem in the volume. Now, the structure of the collection charts the quest of the poet to discover to what extremes he may go. And the first, and by far the longest section, Spleen et Ideal, Spleen and the Ideal, replicates the paradox contained within the overall title of the work. He will move from feelings of celestial inspiration to those of darkest despair. That's the spleen. Many of his most famous poems are in this section, including Hymne à la beauté, Hymn to Beauty, La Chevelure, which sounds much more beautiful in French than the rather prosaic English translation, Hair, Harmonie du soir, evening harmony, and L'invitation au voyage, invitation to the voyage, which contains the famous refrain, là, tout n'est qu'ordre et beauté, luxe, calme et volupté, rendered by the poet Roy Campbell as, there'll be nothing but beauty, wealth, pleasure, with all things in order and measure. By the way, many wonderful songs have been set to Baudelaire's poetry, and Henri Duparc's setting of this poem could hardly be bettered, in my opinion, if ever you want to listen to that version. The section that follows Spleen et Idéal, Tableau Parisien, Parisian Scenes, contains, to my mind, the most interesting and extraordinary poems, because Baudelaire resolutely refuses to evoke the city of Paris in a romanticized way. He's far more interested in the urban landscape at a time where much of Paris was in a state of transition. Now, we now know the name of Georges Eugène Haussmann as the person responsible during the middle years of the 19th century for carrying out a massive project of urban renewal, resulting in the beautiful wide boulevard that can be found in the city of Paris today. But it is sometimes easy to forget that during the time that Baudelaire was writing Les Fleurs du Mal, much of Paris was a building site. And indeed, and instead of imagining a perfect, complete city, Baudelaire found poetry within the dirt and mud of the city of his day. Now, if I were to choose one poem to read from this section, do read Le Cygne, The Swan, where he describes a swan dragging itself through the dust, a symbol of alienation and exile, and of incongruous natural beauty in the middle of urban squalor. The fact that the French for swan, cygne, sounds exactly like the word for a sign, cygne, allows us to read this poem as a piece about poetry itself. I won't linger on all the other sections of the volume, but the poet moves from this world of urban reality to seeking oblivion in drink and drugs through the part called le vin, wine, to loves that lie outside traditional morality in Fleurs du Mal, Flowers of Evil, not to be confused with the title of the whole volume, which is The Flowers of Evil, before shifting to poems evoking a more general sense of revolt in Revolt. One of the most devastating poems of the collection comes from the Fleurs du Mal section in a poem entitled Un voyage à Cythère, a voyage to Cythera. Cythera is the Greek island believed to have been the birthplace of Venus, goddess of love. And the poet commences his journey to the island of love full of hope and joy. But as he approaches Cythera, he sees in the distance a hanged man on a scaffold being pecked at by birds. And as he comes closer, he sees an image of his own face in the dead man, leading to the heartbreaking final lines. Ah, Seigneur, donnez-moi la force et le courage de contempler mon cœur et mon corps sans dégoût. And that's in English. O Lord, give me the strength and the courage to contemplate my body and my soul without disgust. The final section, La Mort, Death, brings us not only to the end of life, and indeed the volume, but also to questions of what might possibly lie beyond the grave. The very last poem, Le Voyage, The Voyage, rehearses so many of these ideas, finally declaring that we should not be so concerned with whether we will achieve salvation or damnation, but that we should embrace the newness of the unknown. And I'll leave you simply with the French. Enfer ou ciel, qu'importe, au fond de l'inconnu, pour trouver du nouveau. Thank you.